Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share a conversation I recently recorded with two second-year students in our Executive MBA Class of 2021, Michael Long and Asia Saikong. Michael and Asia are both co-presidents of our Black Executive MBA student organization, and I invited them on the podcast to talk a bit more about their backgrounds, how they decided to pursue an MBA, and what Bimbo has planned for this academic year. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation, so without further ado, here's my interview with Michael Long and Asia Saikong. Michael, Asia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's great to have you both here. Michael, I should say welcome back to the podcast. Asia, thank you for coming on the podcast. This is an opportunity for us not only to talk about you, but also talk about the Black Executive MBA Student Organization, something of an annual tradition here on the podcast to have BIMBO leaders on and to talk about what the club is up to this year. This is kind of an incredible time for the Executive MBA program. We have over 10 student organizations. I just attended the club fair for the class of 2022. I was struck by the fact that those students have even started a few clubs of their own, and they've only really been here at Darden for about a month, which is, I mean, this says a lot about people's investment in this program. So Asia, since you are new to the podcast, let's start with you. So tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and what your background is.
Sure. I'm Asia Saikong. I am a practicing attorney. I currently work in-house for a local utility company. I am in my 11th year of legal practice. The law was my second career after a career in public relations and communication. And so going to business school is leading into my third career. And so I am excited to be in the program. I'm also a single mom of a student who started college the same week I started the EMBA program at Darden. So that was an exciting time in our household. He moved away and with the pandemic has moved back. So we have done a lot of adjusting at home, but I think we are all resilient and rolling with the punches. And so it's been a great year of being at Darden and really kind of adapting to the new normal. And I am excited about what the new career starts.
Well, excited to have you here. And again, thank you for taking some time out for the podcast. I'm going to come back to you to ask a little bit about how does a lawyer decide to pursue an MBA? But before we do that, let's meet Mr. Long. Michael, tell us a bit more about your background, what you're doing currently, and what you did prior to Darden.
Yes, well, definitely glad to be back. Thanks, Brett. I'm happy to be here with Asia as well, one of my favorite cohorts members in this class. So this is always a treat for me. So my story is I'm Mike, the cyber guy, background in cyber IT related, no business understanding coming in. And so coming to Darden was an opportunity for me to really dive deep into understanding what is business. How can that help me in my pursuit of management and understanding the tools I need to get there?
And Mike, I appreciate the fact that you did not bring up your basketball team, but we'll talk about that, I guess, offline a bit. But for those of you who are listening, Michael is unfortunately a Duke fan, or fortunately, if you're listening to this podcast, we're, you know, ACC, pro ACC podcast. So Asia, as I mentioned, you had previously, as you mentioned, and as I said, I was going to come back to you to talk about how you decided to pursue an MBA after already having done law school. For our listeners, they may be surprised or maybe not surprised to hear about a third of a matriculating class of students here at the Darden School in our Executive MBA program have graduate degrees already, have done some advanced schooling. You would be in that third of students. So how did you think about pursuing an MBA?
I always wanted to get an MBA, Brett. Actually, when I decided I would go to law school or pursue a graduate degree, honestly, I joked that it was like a coin flip. And I wanted to avoid sort of the quant topics back in my early 20s when I decided to go to law school. And so I kind of just decided, oh, well, I'll just go to law school and avoid the math. And here I am again doing the math and the quant things. But it's greatly enriched my skill set. I ended up not getting away from quant. In my prior practice, I was at a firm and I did antitrust and financial services litigation. And so I had a lot of experience and exposure to economics and quantitative financial financial theory and economic forces. And I always wanted to do MBA, and it came back around as an opportunity for me to pursue with Darden in the executive program, because I knew that I wanted to get more business acumen as I progressed in my career.
I can certainly understand that. I think that resonates a lot with the conversations we've had here on the podcast with other students. They felt like they had gaps, things that they wanted to fill in. Darden being a general management program with a core curriculum, you know you're going to get those fundamentals. Michael, you mentioned earlier that you were a cyber guy, not a lot of business in your background. How did you decide to pursue an MBA?
Yeah, because I wanted to grow and get into management. And I know that at some point, me leveraging my IT and cyber background can help and get me only but so far, but coming in with more so a business mindset will help. Coming in at least knowing something about accounting, knowing something about organizational structure, strategy, marketing, I think will help polish me and kind of give me that differentiator type viewpoint in going to the next level, taking it to the next level.
It's an interesting point you make about those subject areas. For our listeners, we always get this question about people don't have a background in accounting or finance, and they feel, gosh, am I going to be able to learn these topics? And we always stress that the way that these subjects are taught in this program is with more of a managerial lens, not designed to make you an accountant or a finance expert, but to allow you to have a perspective on these conversations. How do you explain that, Michael, to students who maybe are talking to you about your background, didn't hear a lot of traditional business education, and yet you're taking this core curriculum? What do you share?
That don't be intimidated. Know that you can do it. If I'm doing it, I think that's a great benchmark that anybody can do it. Anybody can make it through this program. That your cohort will be there to help and support you. So folks like Asia have helped me along the way and been able to kind of be great example, teachers, leaders, about how you can overcome, achieve, and still grow and learn along the way, not just from the professors, but from just the backgrounds that all of the students bring and perspective that they share.
In Asia, you had mentioned perhaps, I don't know if avoid is the right word, but you at least kind of sidestepped quantitative courses through prior educational experiences. You knew in coming to Darden that you were going to have to take accounting, finance, decision analysis, global economics, these quantitative courses. There's also qualitative courses, but as part of a general management program, you knew you were going to take these courses. How did you adjust to that? Or what did you say to yourself as you said, okay, I'm doing something that I haven't done previously?
Mike, I'm flattered that he said that I helped him through, but I echo that the cohort helped us through. On my learning team, I have a finance guy who is basically a CFO at a startup, and the dynamic within our learning team allows me to learn from each of our members. They all have different strengths. I actually happen to be on another with one of the other attorneys in the program. So he and I can sort of rely on each other when we're not sure what's going on in the quantitative classes. We can at least say, okay, wait, one of us is going to figure this out and we're going to lean on our teammates. But also one of the things I think was immediately apparent during LR1, during our first week of residency, was even in the quantitative classes, they are taught in a very multidisciplinary approach. And so I, coming in without a quant background, or at least a gap in that sort of area, felt like my input from a non-quantitative standpoint was valued and appreciated. And I felt like I had, you know, real substantive contributions to the class discussions.
That's a great point. And the thing that we do stress with prospective students is that at the end of the day, this is a communication-based experience, right? So it's not just Excel and all of these kind of formulas or learning about quantitative or technical ideas. You have to be able to explain your thinking at the end of the day. Communicate that to a group of people who maybe don't share your exact background. That's one of the beauties of the program, is you're constantly in the room with people who do something different than you, and hearing different perspectives and different experiences. You're both members of the Full Play Club. You both have families. You're very active within your cohort, your busy professional lives. You've added school to the mix. Asia, I wonder, how long did it take you to feel settled in the program? Ultimately, how did you find a schedule that worked for you?
I'm not the most rigid scheduler, period. And so I think my family has had to adapt to a very fluid approach to every day. Every day brings a little bit of a different challenge and a different schedule. But I think I probably hit a point of really getting into a rhythm, probably around quarter five. But if you talk to me last quarter, quarter seven was a challenge. But I think what is particularly challenging this year, obviously, is the pandemic and switching to a completely online versus in-person learning. But I think with the help of my classmates, and the professors are extremely understanding about, you know, just communicating and understanding that we're all adapting. We've had to, you know, my family has had to make a lot of, you know, adaptations, let's say, not sacrifices, but just adapting to the fact that last quarter I had three classes, and I had to, because we were all virtual, had to spend, you know, nights where I wasn't cooking dinner. Luckily, I have a teenager who can cook dinner and be responsible. And so many nights I had meals made for me, but we've figured out a balance. We've definitely figured out a balance through time. Luckily, I'm not very regimented. So we kind of just go with the flow and get into more of a rhythm versus a real schedule.
No, and all great points there. And I think it's good for people who are listening to this podcast to hear there's a lot of individuality in terms of how people manage their time. And this is a common topic, because for anybody thinking about doing a working professional program, you remember when you were a prospective student, everybody's wondering, how do I do this? And, you know, you find a way through. Every quarter is its own challenge. And you're right, the pandemic has prompted a shift. There were a couple of electives, I guess, that were offered for your class in a sort of hybrid format, where there's an opportunity to be in person for some of the sessions if a student was interested in being so, like a class with Michael Ho, a class with, I believe, Greg Fairchild. And I know the program is looking to find ways to create that opportunity for students, but, you know, ultimately, the virus does have a lot to say. The health and safety guidelines have a lot to say about what we're able to do right now. And you have to consider multiple stakeholders, right? Students, faculty and staff. So Michael, how long did it take you to sort of find a schedule that worked for you and your family? Ultimately, what does that look like?
Yeah, I will say I succeed in chaos. But you know, I think what has helped really finding a schedule is just, the communication aspect with the family, and just kind of talking to them and saying, coming in like, hey, this is what it, at least I perceive it to look like. Hey, I'm going to be busy Tuesday, Thursdays. We're going to have these on-ground residencies and just getting that support. And so coming into it, I think it was pretty good. Of course, throughout the year, there's going to be things that come up, but just that flexibility with the family has helped. And I think that's what has been able to kind of allow me some sense of stability throughout this program.
And I do want to really commend your class. I think when we get asked by prospective students how things are going, we certainly emphasize adaptation. But I do really want to credit you and your classmates for hanging in there and staying connected during this time. I think this has been a great example of the community that we have here in the Executive MBA program. The fact that y'all are still eager to spend time together, you're still looking for ways to remain connected. And from a programmatic standpoint, you've been great partners through all of this, because we know it was a shift. Certainly, you had had a few quarters where it was the program as designed, and then all of a sudden COVID-19 comes along and we have to shift to virtual classes. The hybrid class format didn't really show up until the most recent quarter. So, you know, quarter seven for your class, I believe. And so, you know, it has been a lot of adaptation, but I do want to take a moment just to recognize your class and the incredible job y'all have done hanging in through this experience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we invited you on, not just because I enjoy talking with both of you, which is 100% the case, but also because you are leaders of the Black Executive MBA Student Organization. And before we talk about all the things that you have planned for this year and what's going on with BEMBA, as it is known in the colloquialism of the program, I want to talk a bit about what the student organization is about. So, Michael, what is BEMBA? What is BEMBA focused on?
So I think one of the biggest things about what is BEMBA, and it's really come out in the imminence of this pandemic, but then even some of the racial unrest that we have seen in the nation. And so with our organization, we have been able to leverage BEMBA more so as a supporting group, a supportive group, to where we can just kind of come together and be ourselves, to say it is okay not to be okay, to share how we feel, but then also to kind of put in some actions, come up with a roadmap, come up with a plan, make an impact, and then also giving our group a voice, and definitely having great leaders such as Madam President Asia within the Black Executive MBA has definitely helped us with some of our efforts overall.
No, I appreciate that point, Michael, and I will say the credit to the organization. And, you know, in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, it felt like BEMBA took a really active role in pushing the program, pushing the school as well, to say, hey, are we having the conversations that we should be having here? Are we reading the kinds of cases that we should be reading? How do we do more? And I thought that was such a powerful moment for BEMBA. And Asia, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that. You know, as you think about BEMBA and all the things that Michael just mentioned, it seems like it's a particularly urgent time for the organization and the things that you're working on.
Right, Brett, I want to say, one, let's commend the staff and the program staff of the Darden Executive MBA program for being so responsive in making this transition to being all online so seamless, and even then shifting back to the hybrid model. I mean, honestly, the staff has done the yeoman's work on really being responsive to the students' needs, really being responsive to the changing situation and circumstances for this whole learning year. And even the programming for the coursework, right? So switching to one of our mandatory experiential learning courses being COVID-related or pandemic-related in responses in business from a business angle and healthcare, but also the upcoming course of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so I want to commend the staff for being so responsive and so being a leader in terms of business education. But to BEMBA in this summer, this is the summer of, you know, the country's sort of reckoning of racial justice, and Mike's courageous leadership really sparked what was a transformative experience for everyone in our cohort, but especially our BEMBA members, allowing us to sort of shift in the moment from being an affinity group that really sort of supported the students and talked about career paths and connecting with alumni and Black alumni specifically, but really being on the forefront of, you know, making voices heard, making sure that, you know, there's representation in not just the casework, but our presenters, and making sure that BEMBA was active in supporting our students in their learning and their growth and transformation, but also supporting the current Black students and the future students that, you know, we've had a connection with, or incoming students, in their experience. This was a difficult summer, and Mike's intrepid leadership really helped us move the ball along for all of the students. I think, you know, we had many, many sessions that were impromptu with our membership where we could say, hey, you know, just check in. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what we think we can do as a group. What can we do as individuals? And also recognizing that sometimes just being, just existing, is plenty. And so, you know, this was a summer where we needed each other. And I reminded everyone that, you know, we were here in that moment. No one else will be in that moment in this role as a BEMBA member in business school at a leading business school with the opportunity to transform our society. And so I'm fortunate to have had this opportunity with Mr. President Mike. I want to make sure that we note that we are co-presidents.
That is indeed the case. If you're wondering, gosh, sounds like there are a lot of presidents on this call. Yes, there are. We have two co-presidents here. And I do want to say, I mean, I think also thinking about this program as being a DC area based program, I'm sitting here in downtown DC. I'm a couple blocks from Black Lives Matter Plaza. If you go down sort of to Lafayette Square Park, there's a lot of art and murals there, and really just kind of a recognition of what happened even here locally. And over, you know, obviously that was a convening place for people who were protesting and demonstrating. And so in some ways, obviously a national story, but also there's a local dimension to it. And we're a DC area based program. And I've thought a lot about that as I walked past that stretch of 8th Street and 16th right there. So I'd also want to commend you for doing something I don't think we've had a student group do in the Executive MBA program. This summer, you put together a video welcoming the class of 2022, our newest students. And Mr. Long, I believe you might have been the organizing force behind that, but I don't want to step on his toes here, but it sure seemed like you were very much involved in that. Do you want to describe, granted videos don't come through as well on these kind of podcasts, but do you want to describe a bit at least what the gist of the video was, what the goal of the video was?
Yeah, so it was definitely something that is, we all took part in, and we being the BIMBA group. And so it was just a video just born out of our experiences through some of the unrest, some of the conversations we were having, and then even recognizing how organizations were responding to some of the questions being asked, and just how, as we, as students, as leaders, as representatives in our communities, you know, how do we show up, right? And so we want to welcome, but also challenge our incoming cohort, you know, how are you guys going to show up? And so we kind of leveraged it as a opportunity of passing the baton, if you will, not just to our Black executives that are incoming, but then also to the whole cohort. We thought to put it on YouTube, so that it can be public, so that it doesn't stay within just the confines of the Darden program, but just an example of what Darden is able to do outside of our classes and whatnot, and that is open to everybody. If you're coming to Darden, if you're thinking about coming to Darden, if you're not even thinking about getting your MBA, I think some of the questions that we posed and that welcome is just an invitation for everybody to challenge themselves and how they show up.
I agree. And a lot of deep thoughts, a lot of great quotes were shared. I mean, if you're a class of 2022 member and you're watching that, I don't know how you don't feel ready for your MBA program. Like, can we get started right now? Asia, how do you think about that video? And what was, when you watched it, what would you share with our listeners here?
Sure. I love the video. It's so inspiring. And Mike's humility betrays the fact that he's the writer, director, executive producer, and production editor. And so he did an amazing job in getting us inspired to create the video, which, like you said, is a challenge, a friendly, but, you know, imperative to say, hey, you know, this is passing the baton. And now we challenge the next, you know, group of leaders to take on this challenge face on. And it also exemplifies the leadership and the leaders that Darden, you know, produces. Towards the end of the video, we were able to get the faculty, so Black faculty and staff members, to join in. And that just shows their commitment to support and encouragement. And they're also living the challenge as well in educating the next generation of business leaders. And so I am so proud of the video and the you know, what the result was. So I'm glad it was shared widely.
It is out there on YouTube. If you'd like to watch it, you can always, if you can't find it, follow up directly with me and be happy to share it. It's a great video, a great testament to student leadership. One of the great things about the University of Virginia is that we have student self-governance. If you've listened to our admissions podcast, we talk with student leaders all the time, and you should get the real impression that these folks are directing so much of the extracurricular life of the program. Busy as they are, they still play an incredible leadership role, both in the classroom and also outside of the classroom. So, Michael, Asia, what are you looking forward to in the months ahead? I know it's a busy time. I know everybody is really kind of trying to adapt to this new normal, uncertain timeline that it may have. Asia, what are you looking forward to with Bimba and what's to come?
For Bimba, I think what we're looking, or at least what I'm looking forward to, is repeating a past success we had over the summer. So one of our members works for a corporation that, in the wake of the George Floyd and sort of the social justice initiatives, decided to match any employee donations to a subset of Black nonprofit organizations. And he brought that opportunity to Bimba, and the match was up to $10,000. And so he brought that to Bimba as a group, and then we opened it up to the larger cohort, especially the other club leadership members. And so we were able to raise over $10,000 to charity to donate, and then that corporation matched those funds. And so we were able to raise over $20,000 for a particular charity. And so we're looking forward to continuing that in the fall, looking for another opportunity for us to give back to the community and further support the local community. So we're looking at some local DC organizations that we can support. And so I'm looking forward to our charitable giving and giving back to the community that you know, supports us by living here as members.
I appreciate your noting that, because we actually get a lot of questions from prospective students about how are students engaged in the community outside of the classroom. As you might imagine, people who are looking at this program are trying to figure out how do they do as much as they can while they're in an executive MBA program, and you know, naturally community service, volunteer, being engaged with causes, organizations that are of interest are one way to do that. And so I appreciate your sharing that, Asia. Michael, what are you looking forward to with Bimba this year?
Yeah, just piggybacking from what Madam President has mentioned, just really looking at that plus our transition plan now. We are in quarter eight, and so we see the finish line, and so we want to make sure that we are transitioning Bimba to our future leaders, that there is something for them to do, that they are prepared, that they are ready, but that we are still here. And then we are also looking at how to engage with our residential partners, BBSA, and you know, making sure that there are some synergies there, which is a terminology I learned in FMP, synergy. So, but you know, we want to make sure that we have that there, and just making sure that there is that support. And we are also reaching out to our current 2022 group and kind of giving them some of the lessons that we learned while we were in the program. So transition, continue some of our local impact, but then also just support.
Michael, I want to stick with you for a second here, because I want to come back to something that came up earlier. When really the national protests around the killing of George Floyd were really kicking off and accelerating nationally, also here in the Washington, D.C. area, y'all had a residency that weekend, and Laura Morgan Roberts was teaching a class, and we've had her on the podcast to talk about that class that she was leading, experience, how she thinks about making space for difficult conversations in the classroom. And I just know from being on LinkedIn with folks and talking with your classmates that the class sessions that she was leading that weekend were really, really pivotal for students in that class. And I know you played an instrumental role in those conversations. And to me, that is a great example of the real richness of the Darden experience if people can show up and be vulnerable. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that was like from a student perspective? Because we've talked with Laura and have gotten the faculty perspective and recognize, you know, these were difficult conversations, challenging conversations, but necessary conversations too. So,
yeah, and so thank you. I think Darden has some amazing teachers, professors, but I definitely have a certain level of love and appreciation for who we affectionately call LMR, Laura Morgan Roberts. And she did really an awesome job of really going off script and being really transparent and vulnerable with us in her position of power, which also allowed, it gave Bimba some relief in having to not feel like we had to carry that burden or that duty, responsibility to just share and be the voice. And so LMR was able to really take that class and share with us how she felt and just say, man, and it was a Sunday morning. And she said, man, it's just a lot. And this was our leading team's organization. And I think while we did not talk about what our course plan was, I think that the theme and the message under that is you will not be able to lead a team effectively if you're not able to connect with your team on a human level. And so that's what I got from it. There was the other discussions of the racial tensions and just how we were able to cope and still show up. But I mean, it was really impactful. It really sparked a lot of conversations. It definitely bled over to some other conversations from other members that were not in the class. And it really opened up some doors, not only for BIMBA, but I think for the program at large.
And I appreciate your sharing that perspective. It's a great compliment to that interview. I would encourage anybody listening to this to check out that interview with Laura Morgan Roberts. She's an incredible person. The part of our conversation that did not, unfortunately, make the final cut was we had this winding discussion about both the Jackson Five, who happened to be from her hometown, as well as Laura Morgan Roberts' love of the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan's Last Dance documentary. Maybe we'll have to put it out there at another time. But, you know, again, I want to thank you both for coming here on the podcast. Always wrap up with a bit of advice for our listeners, some news you can use. Asia, any tip, advice you would share with our prospective students?
I would say, I know it's difficult now being mostly virtual, but do what you can to connect with across the network. So don't be hesitant to reach out either if you're in the program currently or thinking about it in perspective, reach out to other MBAs or other executive students, alumni, and just ask the question, what do you think of the program? How did it go? You know, ask for tips and advice for success. I think there is a richness in the experience that everyone is willing to share. I've learned so much in the past year. It's been a whirlwind, when I look back and I sort of take a pause and think about what I've learned, I had immediate usefulness at work, learning what EBITDA and IRR and NPV are in finance terms. I was in a meeting this week where it's strategy with the C-suite of my corporation, and they were using those terms. And so I knew exactly what was going on. And so, you know, there is a richness to this experience, and I'm sure even virtually that you can, you know, gain that same sort of connection across the network. And so I would advise anyone to reach out and ask and solicit sort of that feedback on, you know, sort of tips for success and what they gain from Darden.
I appreciate that. And we really do think of community and the culture of the program as important differentiators for this program. And we've tried to really ramp up our webinar and online event offerings. The Black Executive MBA Student Organization will be hosting one such webinar, but we know it's harder to connect just generally. We can't do in-person events, and so we really try to offer more online. And of course, we got the podcast, a great way to hear firsthand from students about their experience. We got a blog, and we're always open to suggestions. So Michael, any tips, ideas that you would share with our prospective student listeners?
Yeah, I think one thing I've learned, make those connections, make those friendships, but really don't come to Darden just thinking about how Darden can help me out or help you out, but how can you help Darden, right? Don't try to go across the finish line saying, hey, this is what Darden did for me, but more so come in like, what can I do for Darden? And I think that will enrich your overall experience. It will help with your engagement. And then you will feel accomplished and feel achieved when you do see the finish line. Like me and Asia are staring down right now. We're so close and we're going to get there. But really just really be intentional about being an active participant in the program.
And just for prospective students, I would just say read the blog. The blog, your blog, Brett, is so thorough and such a great perspective and look into the program that when I was a prospective student, I really relied upon it heavily.
I appreciate that. And we put a lot out there. We've got a great app tip section, or at least we think so. Anything you would want to know about any section of our application is there. We do student Q&As, and we also do periodic podcast roundups where we say, hey, here's some episodes we think you might enjoy. So we try to keep people posted. We know how busy executive MBA candidates are. So Michael and Asia, such a pleasure having you on here. If someone wanted to learn a bit more about the Black Executive MBA organization, is there a way they might be able to connect with you? Any way they might be able to reach out?
I think one, always get in contact with Brett. You can find us on LinkedIn. I think if you do maybe want to have any questions or interested in applying to Darden, feel free to apply and select BIMBA. Brett can get you more information about that. For some inside information about how to really poke some fun at Brett and his teams of choice, feel free to reach out to me as well. I had to throw in that plug.
So needless to say, Michael and I are on opposite sides of a basketball rivalry in our native state of North Carolina. So with that very light note, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. It's such a pleasure, Michael and Asia, and thank you for everything that you do for our program.
Cool. Thank you, Brett. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Brett. Great speaking with you today.
And that was my interview with Michael Long and Asia Sekong, two second-year students in our Executive MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.